Earlier this week, I saw a post on Facebook, I'm sure many of you did too, asking for biblical figures or scripture, examples of resilience. This post spoke to me on a couple levels. First, how this person had encountered something on their personal journey of wellness and had the immediate desire to draw in the scriptural or spiritual correlation. Also, how relatable this topic is across the board. If you're sitting in this room this morning, the person to your left, to your right, in front or behind you, and of course you too, have been through difficult things. You've been weary from bearing a heavy emotional burden. At one point or another, all of us need to dig deep, recenter, and be resilient. It could be easily argued that there are actually fewer times when we don't need to be tapped into our resiliency reserves, if you will. For many people outside the church, their resilience relies upon their family or people close to them. And unfortunately, when we rely on people to keep ourselves together, we will fall apart. We all fail each other. In one way or another, we fall short on supporting each other. We get frustrated with one another. Simply put, people can be a support system for you, but they cannot be the support system for you. One common theme in the scriptures we'll read through today, which I'm sure that you can guess, is that true resilience relies upon and comes from God. To be clear on what we're discussing this morning, just want to go over the definition of resilience, and that is the capacity to withstand or recover quickly from difficulties, toughness. There were many good examples mentioned in the post and the comments thereafter. Job, Paul, Joseph, David, Peter, Jesus, Jonathan, Ruth, Solomon, Noah, Elijah, and so on. In fact, reading through the list, I became aware of how many lessons I've heard given up here and even presented some that had to do with these people mentioned, and in many ways, their resilience, though perhaps not explicitly stated as such. It is interesting how we can take a theme, look at the scripture through that lens, and see how it could be argued as one of the main themes of the scripture itself. Themes like love, diligence, loyalty, service, faith, and compassion. I believe resilience fits right in with these concepts as a massively recurring theme throughout. I don't have the time to go through the entire list of everyone mentioned, but let's get started and we'll get through a few of them. I'll read some of the passages, but for some of them I will summarize for the sake of time. To begin, let's look at Noah, specifically his construction of the ark and the instructions that he followed in doing so. Noah spent a long time constructing the ark, upwards of a century according to some, though it isn't specifically stated. What we do read in Genesis chapter 6 seems to suggest that he began construction of the ark after his sons Shem, Ham, and Japheth were born, which would put him somewhere over 500 years old, depending on whether God tells Noah was foreshadowing about his sons and sons' wives, or if they had already grown and married. And we read in chapter 7 that he was 600 years old when the flood came. Regardless, the construction took what would be considered a lifetime to us. And all the while what he was doing was a condemnation to the world. That's stated in Hebrews 11 and 7, where it says, "By faith Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith." So if what Noah was doing was a condemnation to the world, we can presume how well he may have been treated. Though we aren't specifically told in the scripture, other texts speak of how people called him misguided. And it certainly takes resilience to remain faithful, constructing an apparatus the likes of which the world has never seen, over the period of time that he did, gather the animals and food as instructed, all while keeping your family together in a doomed world, knowing what will transpire in the years ahead, as we read in Genesis 6, beginning in verse 13. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end to all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you are to make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits, its breadth, 50 cubits, and its height, 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark and finish it to a cubit above, and set the door of the ark in its side. Make it with lower, second, and third decks. For behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, in which is the breath of life under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall die, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of everything living of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark and keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, of the birds according to their kinds and of the animals according to their kinds, of every creeping thing of the ground according to its kind. Two of every sort shall come in to you and you shall keep them alive. Also take with you every sort of food that is eaten and store it up. And it shall serve as food for you and for them. Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. Noah's diligence in following all of God's instruction over such a long period of time takes a resilience the like of which the world has never seen since and is unmatched to this day. In fact, unmatched in history in that regard. Another example of unmatched resilience reported in the Old Testament comes from the book of Job. In the second chapter, starting in verse 1 down through verse 10, it says, Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, From where have you come? Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro on the earth, from walking up and down it. And the Lord said to Satan, Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him, a blameless and upright man, who fears God and turns away from evil? He still holds fast his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without reason. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, all that a man has, he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, Behold, he is in your hand, only spare his life. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with loathsome sores from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took a broken piece of pottery with which to scrape himself where he sat in ashes. Then his wife said to him, Do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die. But he said to her, You speak as one of the foolish women would speak. Shall we receive good from God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. We know that this comes toward the end of Job's account, after Job's servants, livestock, and his children were killed. Seven sons and three daughters. And yet he did not sin against God. Where the devil had said, if those things were taken from him, that he would sin. He came back one more time and said if he was able to harm Job himself and afflict his flesh, he would sin. And yet he did not. To lose your livelihood, your children, and your health would be enough to break many men. But Job stayed resilient and faithful to God, blessing the name of the Lord throughout his sorrow. Next, in Genesis, we read of Joseph. The 37th through the 50th chapter recount how he was thrown into a pit, sold by his brothers into slavery, ended up in Egypt, serving Potiphar, the captain of the guard for Pharaoh. We read how he was imprisoned for fleeing sin with Potiphar's wife. and that she lied to her husband and had him thrown away, only to be released for his blessed ability to interpret Pharaoh's dreams. We know of the prosperous end of the story, but in the midst of the difficulties he faced, it showed great resilience to not be turned away from the righteous path. Had he not been so resilient, it would have been easy to just work away his days, give in to the sin, and die without ever bringing forth his inspirational account. We also read in the Old Testament of the resilience of a widow as we read through the account of Ruth, how she not only persevered through the difficulty of losing her husband and could have returned to her own people, but turned to God by staying with Naomi and choosing Naomi's God as her own. And then she was blessed in her life thereafter with Boaz together as they raised their child Obed, father of Jesse, who was the father of David. And through all of this, she was only one of four women named in the lineage of Jesus: Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, and Mary. I understand that we have really condensed these accounts, but each of these could be lengthy studies on their own, and we've only briefly touched on them, but in doing so, we've talked about being resilient through some very heavy topics. Toil and labor for a great length of time, with the world literally falling apart around you, the loss of livelihood and children, loss of marital support, loss of freedom, fighting through temptation, and the loss of a spouse. Any and all of these things are likely reasons that a great number of people have turned away from God. But yet, those accounts in Scripture show that perseverance through these trying times and turning to God not only brings about resilience, but blessings from God in return, especially if we take the time to read through the rest of these accounts. Through Noah, the world and people were allowed to continue existence. Job was blessed more in his later years than in his earlier years, and it is written that he had 7 more sons, 3 more daughters, and saw 4 generations of his offspring and died an old man full of days. We read of Joseph's rise to a great position in the Egyptian hierarchy, where he was put in a position to protect his family and his people during a time of famine and reunited with them. We already spoke of how Ruth was blessed by marrying into and being one of the few women named in the lineage of Jesus. So it is safe to say from these examples that if you rely upon God and fully lean on him, then you will have true resilience and you will be blessed. So those are some of the examples of people in the Scripture that showed resilience. And of course, we could name and discuss many, many more. However, I want to also go through some of the verses that more specifically speak on the topic before we conclude here this morning. These will be in no specific order, just kind of a rapid fire motivation of sorts. Let's begin with James 1, verses 2 and 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. 1 Peter 1 and 7. So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Both of these verses speak of testing. And what kind of tests could we expect? The testing of our faith, unfortunately, does not come from something that we can easily deal with on our own. The testing of faith comes from the types of scenarios mentioned in the earlier part of our time this morning, truly difficult life circumstances. The next few verses deal with the other part of what we reviewed earlier, that if we make it through the testing, that there will be blessing on the other side, a light for us to focus on in the dark times. Galatians 6, 9 through 10 says, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are in the household of faith." Matthew 24:13 says, "But the one who endures to the end will be saved." 2 Corinthians 4:7 through 10 shows us that our resilience and perseverance through trials proves the power of God to those around us. And it says, "But we have treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven into despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies." In talking about resilience this morning, I'd like to take a few moments and talk about correlation that I can draw, because that's what we do. We try to intertwine our own experience with spiritual and make everything that we have or everything that we do a spiritual thing. Some of the highlights of things that I do in my work to make performance better and make more efficiency in the time of need look something like this. First, we have standard operating guidelines that we read and know and have a standard to hold ourselves to of proven best practices in order to be successful. For a Christian, that would be the scripture. That is our standard. Knowing the scripture outlines our best practices for a multitude of situations. In my work, we pre-plan larger or more dangerous buildings and try to limit the unknown when encountering heat and smoke. For the Christian, pre-planning would look something like knowing what places or situations prove dangerous or highly tempting, learning how to navigate through them if they can't be avoided altogether. Having someone to be accountable to or reach out to in times of immediate need of support or confession. Third, in my work, we respond carefully and we know our response area so that we can be precise in our route to arrive in the most expedient manner, but also arrive prepared to do the job that lies ahead. For the Christian, this could be something along the lines of looking back at pathways that have led to closeness with God in the past, planning your movements and around things that lead you back to that so that you can arrive to those places in your life best prepared to spread the word or be an example to Christ. This may look like planned times for reading, prayer, study with family, or quiet meditation on the word. When things do go sideways on a call, one of the things that they really hound us on for actually developing resilience is to focus on our breath. The reason for this is twofold. First, everything leading up to a possible issue has already increased anxiety within the body, and that puts a heavy focus on the body to be deeply biased toward the sympathetic nervous system, where breathing becomes rapid, shallow, and less effective, and focus is severely narrowed. So breathing deeply through the nose to the base of the lungs, activating the diaphragm, increases intrathoracic pressure and activates the parasympathetic nervous system where rational thinking occurs. This helps to deactivate the sympathetic nervous system where fight, flight, or freeze is the main focus. Second is the fact that if we are in such a situation, we have a definite time limit by nature of all the air that we can breathe being on our back. To either find a way out if we are trapped, or if we are trapped, utilize different breathing techniques to control the limited air that we have by manipulating the equipment to make it last longer. For the Christian, taking a step back and intentionally taking the mind off recent events that have brought forth anxiety, taking in those deep focused breaths, releasing the tension, and spending time in the Word allows our focus to be brought back to where it belongs, on God, His Word, and the everlasting, not the here and now, which may be trying to put the rest in jeopardy. I hope that this morning's lesson has been a benefit to you and that you have been uplifted by hearing some portion of it. If you have a need that can be helped by the congregation, the invitation stands as it always does. Please come forward as we stand and sing.